Welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show on this first Friday of September. I want to remind everybody, try and get to confession, do some Eucharistic adoration before our Eucharistic King, get your rosary in, read your Bible, all those good things, but especially on first Fridays, make reparation for sin. Remember, Our Lady talked about the souls are going to hell because no one is there to pray and make sacrifices for them. Today's going to be a great show because I've got Father Charles Murr joining me again. He was here last Wednesday. He's on again today. And we're going to be covering some topics, the Mass of the Ages that's coming out. It came out on the 15th of August, part two, because Father Murr is part of that video interview. And we're also going to just say that, talk about reparation. Today, ex-Cardinal Theodore McCarrick pleads not guilty to three counts of child sex assault. And so he's now going to have his justice in the court. So we pray for his conversion. I mean, I'd want to see that guy repent. But so far, he keeps saying, I didn't do anything wrong. Well, that's a problem, big time. Also, I just want to make a note. Israel is now the world's COVID hotspot, and they are the most vaccinated country in the world. 78% of their people have been getting the vaccination. And so that's interesting. And there's the point of it is that the vaccination doesn't stop you from getting the COVID-19. Much more effective is your antibodies when you do have COVID, like Jesse and Anita did. Now they're in good shape for a long time because of the antibodies that God has working in our systems. But I also want to talk about Ecclesial Dei communities issuing official response to Pope Francis on the restrictions of the TLM, the traditional Latin Mass. But before we do all of that, we always love to have soul food. What do we mean by soul food for our new listeners? It's the Bible. It's the gospel for the particular day of Mass. Father Murr, are you with us?
I am.
Oh, God bless you. God bless you. Father Murr, thanks for taking the time in your busy schedule. I know you're writing books all the time and doing all kinds of good things, but could you be good enough to read the Gospel of Luke chapter 5, verse 33 to 39, and give us a little exegesis on it?
I'd be honored. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The scribes and Pharisees said to Jesus, "The disciples of John the Baptist fast often and offer prayers, and the disciples of the Pharisees do the same, but yours eat and drink." Jesus answered them, "Can you make the wedding guests fast while the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come, and when the bridegroom is taken away from them, then they will fast in those days." And he also told them a parable. No one tears a piece from new cloth to patch an old one. Otherwise, he will tear the new, and the piece from it will not match the old. Likewise, no one pours new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the new wine will burst the skins, and it will be spoiled, and the skins will be ruined. Rather, new wine must be poured into fresh wineskins. And no one who has been drinking old wine desires new. For he says, the old is good. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. What a great gospel to talk about the liturgy after this. Okay, come on, that's where my mind went. The last thing where it says, the old is good. Okay, Father, give us your take.
You know, Terry, I've got to tell you, so often it happens that you ask me to read the gospel for the radio program,
yes,
which is a joy and a privilege.
Yeah.
But so often I'm reading it, and there are lines that pop out to me that I've, it's like the first time I've read them.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Oh, yeah. I love
and
it.
one of the lines that I never recall,
yeah,
until this morning when I was reading the gospel,
yeah,
I don't recall ever having seen, was, "And no one who has been drinking old wine desires new."
Yeah.
"For he says, The old is good.
I know.
I don't ever remember that line before, well, but I'm going to tell you something.
I can see
that
why.
Flows right into that flows right into our talk about the mass of the ages, doesn't
yes.
it?
Yes, that's what I was saying when I read that this morning.
The old is good.
The old is good. And, you know, that is so true, Father. But I want to, if you have any other thoughts before I get to Fulton Sheen, I'd love to have your commentary on this, because this is, I mean, the fathers of the church also have insights on that. A gospel, but I want to hear from your thoughts, because you reflect.
No. Go ahead. I think it's beautiful that our Lord is saying, they're accusing him, right?
Yes.
They're accusing him. Your disciples aren't living right.
Right.
They said, what do you mean they're not living right? Well, our disciples, you know, they go around with sad faces because they're fasting, and everybody knows it. And everyone appreciates and loves us because we do all of these sacrifices.
Yes.
Yours don't act like ours, and we don't like that.
Right.
That's what they're saying.
Yep. Well said. Well,
our Lord just answers them quite just point blank. I love the way Christ does this.
Direct.
He looks at them point blank, and he said, "Look, nobody starts fasting and doesn't drink at a wedding."
That's right.
You're at a wedding feast after the wedding ceremony itself, after the ceremony takes place, you're off to a feast. Some of these feasts lasted for 3 days at a time, even more. I was just remembering in Bergamo, Italy, I went to one of my first weddings as a priest. The meal eating took 8 hours.
Oh, come on. Really?
I'm serious.
Oh,
people got up. You got up between courses and walked around to meet people and to kind of settle your stomach for the next course. It's unbelievable. So what our Lord is saying, there are people in cultures who really know how to feast when there's a feast.
I guess.
And what Christ is always saying, that he's always said this, and there's a time for everything.
Yeah.
It's almost like that. Remember that old song from the Birds in the 1960s?
Yes, I do.
Turn,
yep,
right?
Sure I do.
To everything under the sun, there's a time.
Yep.
Right? For every purpose under heaven. And Christ is saying the same thing.
Yep.
Why would you ask my disciples, why would you ask those who follow me to be fasting and sort of mourning while I'm here?
Yep.
He said, no. Soon enough, the time will come when I'm not here. Then they can start fasting and mourning, right?
Great message.
I love this. I love this. What he's saying is, I want my disciples to take full advantage of me right now. Anything that I can give, they should be joyful I'm here, right?
Well said.
That's it. Later on, the time for fasting and penance and everything will come, but not right now.
I think you gave a great commentary, Father. Thank you so much. Let's bring the smartest guy into the room, Archbishop Fulton Sheen. Full Sheen ahead. I got this quote because it hit me between the eyes. I think it's important. It says, spiritual prophet. And he says, the greatest spiritual prophet comes from loving those who hate us and from giving gifts and dinners to those who cannot give anything in return. This is very scriptural. For then recompense will be made in the kingdom of heaven. Father Murr, easy said, hard to do. But I mean, have you had any experience where you? I'll just give you one story, one short story, and then you can give me your thoughts. I had a brother who was in business where his number two guy found out my brother was dying of cancer, brain tumor, and decided to run off with the money. In other words, he took the bank account money, I think it was the $30,000, and said, well, he's not going to be around. He's sick. He's dying of cancer. I'm taking my money and running. So anyhow, I ran into that man over a year later on Skid Row in downtown L.A. We were doing ministry to the poor. And when he saw me, he got scared. And I recognized who he was, but I forgave him because I knew that's what I had to do from my formation. And I hugged him, and he started weeping. And it really touched him, and it touched me probably more than it touched him, because I was able to practice what Fulton Sheen just talked about, and that is loving those who hate you. And that's my take. Does that make sense to you, Father?
Oh, it makes a lot of sense. It makes a lot of sense. First of all, because I know you and I know you're capable of it.
Well, thank you, Jesus.
You began this by saying it's a difficult thing to do.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. We're asked to do those difficult things every once in a while. If it were easy, anybody could do it.
Yeah,
That's why you need a Christian to do it. Somebody's going to do the hard thing. I would again.
Yes.
Terry, make a distinction.
Yes.
Between two verbs, and this is the problem.
Mm-hmm.
We don't make this distinction. The one verb is to love.
Yes.
The other verb is to like.
A big distinction. Yeah, like, okay. And lover. Yep.
And yeah, they're very different.
Big time.
They're very different. And when many for years as a kid, even as a teenager, even as an adult, when I would hear the gospel that you have to love your enemies, I didn't hear you have to love.
Yeah.
I heard you have to like them.
No.
All right. I heard the word that was being used was love, but I heard like.
Yeah, I get it. Hey, when we come back with Father,
going into a break.
Yeah, we got music's on. Take a quick break. We'll come back. And we're going to cover the Ecclesial Dei communities issuing official response to Pope Francis on the restrictions of the traditional Latin Mass. I think they did a nice job. I want to have Father Murr and I talk about this letter. And then we're going to talk about the Mass of Ages, Part 2. Stay with us.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. I know I sound like a broken record, but it's First Friday. Let's get back in that habit of getting to Mass on Friday, getting to do Eucharistic adoration, maybe getting to confession if you hadn't been to confession in a month. This is just a good practice. I just want to make this suggestion. People tell me all the time, I haven't been to a confession. I just kind of slipped away. Can I give you just an idea? Just off the top of my head, how about going to confession on the first Friday of each month, at least? And then if you need to go more, go. But just tell yourself, this is on my schedule. It's on my calendar. Then you don't say, geez, it's been 6 months since I went to confession. It's because you put it as a priority. Okay, let's move on. That was just Terry speaking from experience. Father Murr.
Yeah, but you know what, Terry?
Tell me, Father.
That's good. I like that advice.
Well, it's just, I'm a practical guy,
first
Father.
First Friday, sure.
Yeah, but I'm practical. Sure. I need to have everything on my calendar. I will forget things if it's not a good holy habit. Here's the bottom line. Holy habits or bad habits are hard to break. Either one.
You got it. Well said.
All right. Let's get into this document. Father Murr, it's no surprise you love the traditional Latin Mass. You offer it Mass every day with the Latin Mass. And I think you'd be a good one to comment on this. Ecclesial Dei communities. Basically, what happened is the superiors from 12 Latin Mass communities have a joint official statement, in all due respect to the Holy Father, and the French bishops also, in response to Traditus Custodis. I probably butchered that in Latin, but... that's the document that the Pope put out on the feast of, believe it or not, Our Lady of Mount Carmel, July 16th. Now, priests and the abbots have asked for a humane, personal, trusting dialogue. Ooh, what worded? And promise to convert it. Party spirit of pride has polluted our hearts. Now, Father, this joint statement issued just on September 2nd in English, because that's how I'm reading it, and in French, address the Pope's recent restrictions on the traditional Latin Mass. It asked for security for the members of the traditional communities in their way of life, something from which, you know, Dr. Peter Kosniewski described as the statement's strongest argument, as a substantial change in the rule of such communities would be an integral ecclesiastical contradiction. Can you kind of break all this up? What are these people asking for? What are they trying to get the Holy Father to do? Recognize them? Is that it?
Boy, huh? Where to begin with that?
Yeah,
I understand the questions, and mm-hmm. I think I've got an opinion anyway.
Yeah, well, I want to hear your opinion because you're close to this.
I think what the Holy Father is doing mm-hmm. is he's He wants to bring in these people, the people of the traditionally minded people, and he wants to bring them in. I think he has the idea that we're sort of on the fringe of leaving the church, which is certainly not the case. It's not the case at all.
Not at all.
And also, I listened to an interview that he gave that was, I found worrisome. But I find a lot of his interviews worrisome. Mm-hmm. But this one was, he described people who went to the traditional mass in pejorative terms. We're too rigid. Mm-hmm. He's got a real thing with rigid. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is. It's like between rigid and clericalism, these are the things that really eat at him. But we're too rigid, and we're too nostalgic. I don't know what we want, the 40s and 50s back or something like that. This is to answer. And those are the two things that he keeps repeating.
Yeah.
And he's repeated again, just the other day in this interview on this topic.
Yeah. I saw that.
I think to begin with, he's talking to the wrong people.
Yeah.
Or he's talking to the right people the wrong way. Let me put it that way. This is not nobody wants to go back to the 50s. I mean, yeah, I'd like to because I was 10 years old. I'd like the youth part of it.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was hard enough getting through life and getting through school and getting through puberty and through adulthood. I don't want to go back and do that again. Nobody does. And, things have changed. We understand that. Nobody's trying to go back and relive the 50s. That is not it. By the way, some of the people who attend the Latin Mass, and I've met them, they used to be Protestants.
Yes, I know that for a fact.
I know a couple of Jewish couples who have converted to Catholicism. Where's the nostalgia? They're getting back to what? They never were at a Latin Mass.
Right.
Yet when they have the opportunity
to
go to Mass, that's the Mass they choose.
Yeah. And
they've already been to the Novus Ordo with the liturgical dancing and craziness in different places. They've been to that. That's not it. They want the Latin Mass. There is no nostalgia. They never had it.
Well, Father, let me just jump in for a minute. You just made me cross my mind about... they said that, you know, these Latin Mass people, they feel suspected, marginalized, banished. That's what they wrote in their letter. You know, Holy Father, and this is all due respect, I don't consider myself with a big family. I had 6 kids. But I remember him saying to big families, stop breeding like rabbits. Now, can I tell you, that would make me feel marginalized. If the Holy Father, because I know what the church has taught for 2,000 years, that big families are a blessing to the church and to the world. And so this seems to me that, with all due respect, the Holy Father seems to be pointing out things like, for example, stop talking about abortion all the time. You see, I found that offensive as a pro-life Catholic who's trying to stop the killing of innocent life. It seems to me, Father, with all due respect to the Holy Father, he's talking to the wrong people and telling me to stop talking about the unborn or not to have big families or... Here again, to these people who like the traditional Latin Mass, it just seems to me like it's offensive in the sense that it's an anomaly, because I'm not used to having the Pope tell us that kind of stuff. Let me just give you one example, and this is something from Pope Pius the 12th. I'm sorry I'm taking so much, but Pope Pius the 12th said this on November 24th. I did my homework, 1957.
You
were just a boy. He addressed the
Catholic.
There you go. He addressed the Catholic physicians and anesthesiologists. He said, "The Holy Father, life, health are all temporal activities, and are in fact subordinated to the spiritual ends." I would love to have the Pope say that today, because what he's basically saying is COVID-19 is not as important as the saving of your soul. But I'm not hearing that. So when I say Pope Francis is an anomaly, it's because I'm used to having the vigor of Christ say these things that affirm my faith, not compromise my faith. Okay, I had to say it, Father. Got off my chest.
But... Oh, that's great. That's great. You're saying things to affirm your faith.
Yes.
I'd like to just hear things of faith.
Yeah.
I don't hear them.
No.
All I hear is COVID this, COVID that, the environment this, the environment that.
I want my soul.
What about spiritual things? And I'm telling you,
tell me.
The people who have come back to the Mass and sacraments,
yes,
that I know, have done so precisely because they have spiritual hunger and thirst.
Yeah.
This is why they're here. They're not here because all of a sudden they want to clean up the environment.
Yeah.
Or climate change or COVID vaccines. By the way, I've got to tell you this, just parenthetically speaking.
Yes.
Don't you love that word?
I love parenthetically. That was a good word.
Between parentheses.
Yeah.
I saw something the other day that I thought was brilliant, and you've probably seen this also.
Mm-hmm.
There was a woman who had a badge on that said, "My body, my choice."
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
I'm in the grocery store and in the checkout line. And of course, any opportunity I've got to
absolutely
see if you can, right? So I got into it. I'm thinking it's for abortion. No, it has nothing to do with abortion.
It was the
it's
vaccine.
For COVID.
Yeah. I know.
Love it.
I love it. Father Merle, let me ask you this, because you remember you were around back in 1988, and so was I. I remember this when presenting these folks who have a great love for the Latin traditional mass, who have orders, who are going all over the world, and churches are well attended. They said that presenting the situation of thousands of men who gave their lives trusting on the word of Popes John Paul II and Benedict XVI. What are we talking about? We'll see. The superiors asked Pope Francis to heed the promises of the 1988 document Ecclesio Dei, that all measures would be taken to guarantee the identity of their institutes in full communion of the Catholic Church. Father, let me just say this, and then you correct me if I'm off, because I don't mind being corrected by you. when we had this situation with Archbishop Lefebvre, the folks, they ordained four different bishops. Then folks that decided to leave Archbishop Lefebvre over that, John Paul II made a special provision to say, okay, you can still say the traditional Latin Mass. And they were called the Fraternity of St. Peter, and they were given a trust from the Holy Father, from the Church, to say, you do this, and you come back into full communion, you know, under the Holy Father, then we're going to give you this. And now they've been spending 30 years of building up their community. They're growing like a weed. Wouldn't you feel bad if after all that, the next Pope comes and says, we're going to cut that out?
Yeah, I'd feel bad, but also I know enough of history, and so do you, Terry,
yeah,
to know that when somebody pulls something like this,
yes,
it's a good sign, because it's a sign that you're doing something right.
Awesome.
You're doing something right. And I mean this.
Yeah.
When I was building an orphanage in Mexico,
mm-hmm,
I spoke to a very pious priest in Virginia,
mm-hmm,
and he said, be very careful, he said, because when you set out to build a cathedral,
yeah,
right across the street, the devil pitches his tent.
That's true. I've heard that over.
Yeah, well, that's it. So anything that's worthwhile is going to encounter conflict to destroy it. That happens. So when it happens, I've learned this anyway in life, take it or leave it. I've learned that when opposition comes to something that I got involved in because it was good, I take that as a very good sign. I take that as a good sign. I like that. That tells me, it reinforces me, I'm on the right road.
Yeah.
I would say the same thing to all of these communities.
Tell us.
They have nothing to fear.
No.
They have nothing to fear. This is passing.
Yeah.
And let me tell you something else.
Me.
You mentioned Archbishop Lefebvre.
Yes.
I'm writing a book right now. I told you, The Year of the Three Popes.
Yes.
Right. And the death of John Paul I.
Right.
And this, that, and the other. I think it's going to be good. I think it's going to be good. However, the point is, I'm not doing a book commercial here. The point is, we're going to have a break.
Yeah, we're going to have a quick break. I do want a book commercial
break.
Because one of the things we're going to do is we're going to promote the heck out of this book here at the Virgin Most Powerful Radio, because I know what it's about and people need to know about it. And you'll be finding out soon all about this book. You're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show. Father Charles Merz filling in for Jess. We'll come back more to talk about the traditional Latin Mass.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back. Father Charles Merz sitting in for Jesse Romero. Jess will be back on Tuesday. I want to just give a little commercial before I do the commercial about Father's book, because I do want to promote it. Father Merz will be here in Covina, God willing, on the 18th of September. He's going to be giving some talks on St. Joseph. It's going to be from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. We have an Anglican Ordinariate Mass, but confessions will be going on during the day. Father Merz is going to be talking about St. Joseph, husband and father, how to find the right partner in life. He's also going to have a second talk, which I really think is very, very appropriate. St. Joseph the Worker, a model to combat depression. We have another priest coming, Father Stephen Lewinsky, and he's going to be speaking also about devotion to St. Joseph as the protector of life and family. And he's also going to be taking the talk on the man of humility, man of mercy, St. Joseph. And then my wife will be presenting a biblical perspective of St. Joseph. You can watch it on the internet, which we always do. I know we have people coming from the East Coast listening that you can tie into vmpr.org to listen on the internet. Or you can register by calling 877-526-2151 or going online to vmpr.org. Father Merz, before we get into the Mass of Ages, I want to talk just for a minute. You talked about a book about three popes. Can you just tell us a little bit without giving too much away?
Well, it's sort of in conjunction with mm-hmm. Mass of the Ages.
Yeah.
Mass of the Ages, the second episode mm-hmm. is coming up around Chris. I think it's going to be, I talked to the director and producer last night.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be after the first of the year.
Okay.
They're talking January or February.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be, I think, very powerful.
Mm-hmm.
The first part, if you like the first part of Mass of the Ages, which is wonderful,
mm-hmm.
the second part is, the first part was, what is the Mass? What is the Tridentine Mass? What is it? And
mm-hmm.
and you saw examples of it, and it was explained. The second part, the second episode, which is coming out in the new year,
mm-hmm.
is how did we get here?
Oh boy, fascinating.
How did we get here? What happened? Mm-hmm. Now, a lot of younger people who don't know anything, if you're 20 or 30 or even 40 years old,
mm-hmm.
you've never understood what existed for 1700 years,
mm-hmm.
the Mass we had before, and the system built around that Mass. However, the second part is, how did we get here? And it's really very interesting because I think I know a lot of people are going to be shocked.
Mm-hmm.
I know they're going to be shocked. Because I have every intention of saying exactly how we got here.
Yes.
All right. And that's what this book is treating about. And I'm the protagonist of the book, but it was because I was working and living with Cardinal Gagnon and Monsignor Marini, who ended up being the secretary for divine worship, and Gagnon, who was the head of the Pontifical Committee for the Family and all sorts of things, but. I want to get back to just a point that you brought up before.
Yes,
you were talking about Archbishop Lefebvre.
That's right,
Lefebvre.
And the story about what 1980.
Lefebvre.
Yep.
Lefebvre and Pope John Paul II.
Yes.
Wanted Lefebvre and Akon, his home base.
Yes.
Investigated.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted a thorough report. What is it that's going on there? What is it? I want to know exactly before I do anything.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So he sent Cardinal Gagnon, who I was secretary for on many occasions in life. He sent Cardinal Gagnon to Econ, to Switzerland, to do what is called a papal visitation.
Okay.
Now, I don't know how other people do papal visitations, but I know how Gagnon did papal visitations, and there was no nonsense, and everything was documented and firm. Gagnon then came over shortly after. He came to Mexico. He came to New York. I picked him up in New York. We went down to Mexico, and he stayed with me for quite a long period of time. And I asked him, well, how was that? How did you find the Lefebvre situation, the Society of Fraternity of Pius X? Mm-hmm. He said to me, well, he said, I can tell you, it's in the report that I gave back. He said, not only did I not find a problem, he said, I would recommend this seminary to be studied mm-hmm. and used as a model for other seminaries.
Yes.
All right.
Beautiful.
Now, that you can imagine how that went over in Rome, especially the enemies of
Lefebvre. Absolutely.
But he said, it's remarkable. The formation that these young men are getting for the priesthood is fantastic. He said, it's sensible. It makes sense. It's rational. It's reasonable. It's spiritual. He said, I wouldn't add or subtract anything to it. It's perfect. The problem that they had with Lefebvre was that it's a problem of consecrating a bishop. He said, I want this to continue on, mm-hmm. this movement, and therefore we need a bishop. Well, Rome was they were going back and forth on naming him a bishop.
Right.
But here's the thing. He didn't trust Rome.
Yeah, well, because of what happened.
It's that simple.
Yeah.
It's that simple.
Yeah,
he just didn't trust them.
Right.
And I'll tell you something else too. Cardinal Gagnon, if you're looking down at me, please forgive me for saying it. Mm-hmm. But Gagnon smiled. He said, that should be another sign. He didn't trust Rome. Pretty good man.
Yeah. He was a smart man.
He's a thinking man.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. He said it kind of flippantly, but he understood the problem, and
the
problem. So I'm thinking, even what I just said before, when you get these negatives that come up on a good thing,
yes.
When you're doing something good, and especially when you're doing something that involves the good of the Lord and the good of church,
yes.
promoting Christianity,
you're
going to have problems, but you have to take those problems as witness that you're doing something right.
Yeah.
That's it.
Well, you know, Father, that reminds me of what happened to Bishop Flavin out in Lincoln, Nebraska. This is a thing that took place in the 70s.
Another
saint. Oh, you know him. I could tell you stories of him.
Marvelous.
That's interesting. I didn't realize. Well, I met him through the Church Teaches Forum, and he was telling me stories during World War II when he was, you know, a chaplain. And oh my gosh, this guy was heroic, this bishop doing things. But here's the bottom line. After the council, he tried to implement the council where the mass was staying in Latin, the Novus Ordo Latin mass. He wouldn't allow altar girls. He just had no extraordinary ministers. He didn't do any of the things that a lot of the other bishops around the country were doing. And they were finding that the vocations in Lincoln were just like going out the door. I mean, they were way ahead of any big diocese like L.A. or New York or Chicago. So they said, well, let's go out there and find out what this guy's doing. Maybe we can emulate what he's doing. And a similar thing happened to him that happened to Archbishop Lefebvre. And that is, they came out, he told them exactly what he's doing, and they said, oh, well, we don't agree with that. Get out of here. And they just let it go. In other words, they wouldn't implement the things that Bishop Flavin was doing. And I think that happens with, and I'm just going to call it modernism too, because modernism is very restrictive. It doesn't want anything to do with tradition. It wants everything to do with being a novelty or trying to wipe out the old with the new. Now, if that's an overview that I'm generalizing too big, Father Murr, tell me I'm wrong. Did I lose him? I probably lost him. Well, that's my take on that situation with traditionalist priests, that many times they get persecuted for doing the right thing. I think we even know about that priest this last month in August. Are you there, Father Murr?
I am.
Okay, I lost you. I just asked you the question. I don't know if you heard it. My question was, I'm oversimplifying what modernism is. It's a summary of all the heretics, but my big point is that modernism rejects anything traditional. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah, it goes a little bit further than that, and when it's got a history, mm-hmm. And it's a remarkable history to follow. However, it comes down to this.
Tell me.
And a lot of Protestant sects fell into this mm-hmm. before we did. Right. Mm-hmm. It went through Scripture and took out the miraculous.
Mm-hmm. Any supernatural.
It went mm-hmm. through Scripture yep. and took out the divinity of Christ.
Yep.
It went through Scripture and came up with a Christ who was a teacher and a softy mm-hmm. and a nice guy. The guy you'd like to live next door to. That's it. Well, I mean, I'm really oversimplifying because it's got a nasty history. But the idea is to rid Christianity of anything that's a little bit that really requires faith. I'm sorry. If you were a modernist, you would have no problem being a Christian, even if you didn't believe in God, because there's nothing. You're treating Christ as a philosopher, as a thinker, as a teacher. That's all. And you know, it's sort of like Thomas Jefferson. If you've read your history, Jefferson, some of the founding fathers of this country were deists. Some of them were Freemasons. Some of them were deists. And deists were people who believed in God, but then after God created the world and everything else, God went on vacation.
I've heard that.
he went on vacation. And he's still on vacation. On vacation.
Yeah.
His are lengthier than most. Anyway, that's it. So those are the deists. They believe in God. They believe God created the world and that God had nothing else to do with the world after that.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah, not a personal God.
So Thomas Jefferson, for mm-hmm. example, mm-hmm. took a Bible and a razor blade and cut out everything that had to do with a miracle or the divinity of Christ.
Yep.
And took that out. This is modernism.
Yeah, well said. Well said. We come back. I want to talk more about the Mass of the Ages, Part 2. Father Mirza, going to give us his insights from people he knew right inside the Vatican regarding this whole episode. Stay with us, family. You're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back. Father Charles Murr filling in for Jesse Romero. I've been getting a lot of text in the last 10 minutes about the VMPR website. We have the downloadable Catholic exemption letter that if you feel from your moral conscience that you don't want to take the vaccine, so-called vaccine, because of the connection with abortion, how do you do it? Well, you can get our letter, but I find that what's more effective now, from what an attorney told me, is not just a letter, but when they ask you to take this poke, ask them, who's going to take responsibility for liability if I get sick? If you're willing to do that, then I'm willing to talk about getting the poke, because nobody wants to take the liability on this. So you can go ahead and download the vaccine, deal that we have, an exemption, but not everybody's going to follow that. But I think the attorney's point is you ask them that question. We have that question and five or six others to ask on our website when your business tells you you can't come to work without getting the poke. So there you have it, folks. Lots of good information on our website. Father Murr, you're talking about the Mass of the Ages, Part 2. And your part in that, it's going to come out after the first of the year. You talked about Cardinal Gagnon. Can you tell us again his connection? How did he connect with, did he have any connection with Bunini? Did he have any connection with other people who were key players in the reform of the liturgy? How is it that he knew more information than the common Joe?
Basically, a man by the name of Giovanni Benelli.
Oh, yes.
Later on, became Cardinal Benelli of Florence.
Of course.
A real powerhouse. Mm-hmm. Benelli found Gagnon. Gagnon was the rector of the Canadian College in Rome, All right. Mm-hmm. And he was also a canon lawyer, very sharp man, mm-hmm. and a good man, mm-hmm. a good man. Those kind of men, God forgive me, but they're not so easy to find a lot of times, mm-hmm. and especially there and then, okay? Mm-hmm. But Benelli found him and asked him to do an honest investigation of a problem.
Got it.
A situation that came up, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to tell you.
No, you can't say that. I just wanted to say
later
on, key players.
My book and find out.
Absolutely.
Right?
This is a teaser. Yep.
However, he came up with the solution. He discovered what the truth was, and two other cardinals helped him with this.
Wow.
And a man was transferred out of the country because of it.
Right? Yeah.
He was removed from his place in the Vatican and ousted to another place. Right. After that was so well done that Benelli, who's the deputy secretary of state, mm-hmm. and he was Pope Paul's right-hand man.
Yes.
People call Benelli a liberal. He wasn't a liberal. He was an obedient servant. Mm-hmm. Whatever the Pope said, he executed.
Got it.
Mm-hmm. That was it. Because it wasn't his will to do his will. It was his will to do the Pope's will.
Right.
That's what he was there for. All right.
Yep.
Anyway, there came a point, there was so much corruption, mm-hmm. in the Vatican.
Yes.
Does this sound familiar?
Very familiar.
So much corruption in the Vatican that the Pope made a couple statements. Remember, in 1972, he made one big statement. He said,
yes,
the smoke of Satan, the smoke of Satan has come through the cracks in some fissures, has come into the sanctuary.
Yes, I'll never forget that.
Lord, right?
Of course.
Right. Well, this, he all of a sudden, Paul VI began to see that everything wasn't roses. Everything wasn't just so wonderful, especially with the reform of the liturgy, the reform of religious life, the reform of Catholic education. Things were not going the way that they had imagined.
Yeah.
They had hoped, I guess.
Yeah, I was going to use hope because I think there was a lot of hope.
Other people brought things to his attention, and they were very serious matters.
Yes.
So he wanted an investigation, top to bottom, top to bottom, done of the Vatican.
Yes.
And because Gagnon, who was an archbishop at that time, the rector of the Canadian College, was so good at the first thing that he did, Cardinal Benelli suggested him to be the visitor for the Roman Curia. So he did that for 3 years, full-time job.
Wow.
Full-time job. 3 years, investigated the entire Vatican, everything about everything.
God love him.
And had quite a dossier put together, right? That's where the book is going.
Well, yeah, that's enough. Now, that's enough to get me to want to get the book, okay?
I think you're going to like it.
Yeah, I think we will all. I just want to remind everybody, I just saw my faithful bride come into Studio A. We're going to have Bible with the Barbers right after this show with Father Murr. So those who want a good Bible study, please stay on tune with the Virgin Most Powerful Radio app. If you don't have our app, go to our website, vmpr.org, and download a free app, and you can hear our shows, all the podcasts, anywhere in the world. Father Murr, I just want to leave this. We got a couple minutes left. This is First Friday. This is a time where there's a lot of confusion, not only in the world, but in the church. I want to leave people with hope that, you know, we don't worship a man, like, for example, the Pope or your bishop or your local parish priest. It's Jesus Christ. And holiness is not just for the priests, as the Second Vatican Council talks so much about, the universal call to holiness. And how do we stay holy? I know that we have the five stones of King David that we're always talking about. The rosary, pray your daily rosary. Get to Mass as often as you can. Make visits to the Blessed Sacrament. Read your Bible. Get to confession. Those are the constant things that we ask people to do. But Father, as a priest, what would you tell mom and dad right now when there's all this confusion? How do they stay focused in their faith and focused on their family to get them to heaven? Big question.
Knowledge, that's a great question. Knowledge is a good place to begin. Mm-hmm. Knowing things, right? Mm-hmm. To know something.
Yep.
And the first thing that I would say, I just corrected this the other day on Wikipedia.
Okay.
I was looking up one of the popes, mm-hmm. and the Wikipedia article began saying, Pope so-and-so, head of the Catholic Church from this year to that year.
Yeah.
And you can correct things, edit things on Wikipedia. Mm-hmm. I said right off, you're wrong. Head of the Catholic Church is Jesus Christ.
Well said. I love it.
It's not the Pope. It's Jesus Christ. And you know what? I think boy, we as Catholics have to wake up to things.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, if anything, the Pope is vice president.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, seriously, it's Christ is the head of the church. Let's get an ecclesiology that's clear, that's it. Let's be clear on that. Also, just another little point. This whole thing of people calling themselves Christians.
Yeah.
You know, I ran into somebody the other day. They said, "Are you Catholic?" I said, "Yeah." They always start out, "Are you Catholic?" Yeah. Yes. And you? Oh, I'm a Christian. I said,
funny.
Are you kidding me?
I know, I get that a lot.
She said, do you? Of course, I cleared that up.
Yeah.
But she said, do you Catholics read the Bible?
That's
and
so
I said,
funny.
Read it, my dear. We wrote it.
That was a good answer.
What are you talking about? Do we read it? We wrote it.
That's cute.
You know. And
yeah.
I've got to tell you something.
Tell me. We got a couple minutes.
Somebody who is great. Let me just do this.
Sure.
Bishop Flavin of Lincoln, you mentioned him.
I know him, yeah. I knew him. He's passed.
Right. You want an application of the Second Vatican Council?
Yeah.
This man lived truly the Second Vatican Council, mm-hmm. the real spirit of it,
yeah.
and the real law of it.
Yeah.
I went up to go see him for a matter.
Really?
Oh yeah, he gave me the room next to his.
Oh my God!
In Cathedral, we talked about this, and then he said, "Oh, he said you've got to excuse me. I've got to get ready for the cookout."
Cookout?
I said the cookout. He said yes. I may be wrong with the dates. He said every other Tuesday or Thursday, whatever it was, we have a cookout here where I invite half of my priests, and then. Days after that, I invite the other half.
Really?
And then we mix up in the next month. Every month there were two cookouts.
Mm-hmm.
And you know who did the cooking of the hamburgers and hot dogs?
I'm going to say the bishop.
The bishop.
I knew it.
He put on an apron.
Yep.
And he's out there. Every priest, all of his priests, he knew them by first name. Jack, how is your mom doing? Is she okay?
What a guy.
I heard she was in the hospital. Listen, Joe, listen, there were priests there. They weren't all these conservative, traditional priests. He had a couple rabble rousers.
I bet.
So, right?
I bet.
Everybody got along with everybody because they knew that they had a bishop who was caring and loving them.
Wow.
It was amazing. It was amazing. I never saw anything like it in my life.
Yeah.
I said, this man should be studied. And I saw all these priests get together, the fraternity of priesthood at this one with a beer, that one with a glass of wine, this one with a hot dog, the other one with a hamburger.
Sure.
Everybody talking. It was magnificent. It's the way we're supposed to be living. I haven't seen that in any diocese of any place. And a couple of priests wanted to step in and relieve him from cooking, from flipping hamburgers. Yeah. No. This is what I do. Because everybody has to come here to get a hamburger, and I get a chance to talk to them.
Oh, I love it.
Father,
I didn't know that you knew him that well to go. That's a great story. But I was so impressed. I was like a little kid with a microphone, just listening to him tell stories. The guy was a great storyteller. Oh, my God.
Oh, yes. Well, that comes with being Irish, I think. It helps.
I hear you. Well, Father, I want to give one more plug. Your book's coming out the first of this year. That's about 3 months from now. We'll have you definitely on to talk more about that. And I appreciate you filling in for Jesse today.
I appreciate it.
And again, we've got Bible with the Barbers coming up right after this break. Father Murr, could you give our listeners and all of us here at Virgin Most Powerful a priestly blessing, please?
May the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost descend upon you and remain forever.
Amen. Amen. And folks, don't forget, Father Murr will be here at the Sacred Heart Chapel on the 18th of September, right around the corner, to speak about true devotion to St. Joseph. You can register by calling 877-526-2151 or go online to vmpr.org. It's secure for you to register right online. Up next, Bible with the Barbers. Don't forget, folks, if you don't have our app and you're listening on an AM station, just go to vmpr.org, download your app. It'll be accessible to all of the shows here on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. May God bless you for this weekend, this holiday weekend. And don't forget, it's First Friday. I've reminded you three times. You know why? That's how you remember. Get the Mass, get the confession. God bless you.